Today's share in the Dirshu Mishneh Berurah Yomi program is Daf Mem Beis Omud Beis. We're in the fifth volume of Mishneh Berurah, getting towards the end of the beautiful Siman Tuf Nun Aleph, which deals with various kashering halachos. We had read the entire Mechaber yesterday in Sif Yutes, and we had done most of the Mishneh Berurah in Sif Katan Yud Aleph. And that's where we left off yesterday, in about 10 lines up from the bottom of the start of Sif Katan Kuf Yud Beis, towards the end of Sif Katan Kuf Yud Aleph in the Mishneh Berurah. We were discussing using a chametz tikka shovel to take out Pesach tikka matzahs from the oven. And if you did this by accident, so we said that the bottom part of their thick matzahs, or our entire thin matzah that we have nowadays, would be considered chametz in that situation. And then we said if that matzah on the bottom that got turned into chametz got mixed up with other matzahs, which got mixed up with other matzahs, then we said all of the matzahs have to be considered Kulon Asuros. As we've explained previously, he said in Shulchan Aruch Tof Mem Zayin, the Bepesach Lunis Batel Yovish Biyovish. That's where we left off yesterday. And he says, Afilu im Nisarid de Erev Pesach. We pick up in the Mishneh Berurah, again, about 8 lines up from the bottom of this Sif Katan Kuf Yud Aleph. And he says, even if this happened on Erev Pesach, Mikom Mokom, on Pesach, Chozer V'Neyor Tocha Pesach, and it becomes forbidden on Pesach. The asur la'ochel mePesach, and you can't eat any of these matzahs on Pesach. The rak be'erev Pesach, mutar la'achil in latinok. But again, before the actual zman of the Isser on Erev Pesach, you could technically go and eat it and feed it to a child, because you can't eat matzahs on Erev Pesach, or somebody that has a heter to eat it on Erev Pesach, or a child, would be allowed to eat it. The issue footnote number 94 brings down, la'achar shenech la'matzah achas mitoch ha'teruvis. Once you fed the child one of these matzahs, then mutar lechol is kol sha'ar matzahs, and all the other matzahs are acceptable, because we can say in this situation that this whole issur is only midrabanan, and now we can say yesh litlos sha'matzah shenech lo hi matzahs achometz, that the one that the child ate was really the original bottom one, and therefore would be acceptable to eat all the other matzahs. Then the Mishneh Berurah brings down the Eish Omrim, the Kivin Shelo Nesa Rak Mitzad Bolua, Eino Chozev Neir BePesach. He says the whole reason why the bottom matzah was also because it got absorptions in it from the Chometz Dikah shovel. And therefore, for Blios, we don't say Chozev Neir BePesach. Now, the Mishneh Berurah adds, because there b'chometz gomer. This is when you're talking about real chometz over here. However, if it's a shovel, Avul B'marde, Shehotziu Bo Matzah Kefula Unefucha. You have a Pesach Tikka shovel over here, and you're taking out matzahs, and one of the matzos is bent over, it's doubled over, or it's puffed up, which would make it that you can't eat that matzah on Pesach because of a chashash that maybe it's chametz. Then in this situation, dai lesor harachas lechatrila. Then in this situation, we say only lechatrila should the shovel be kashered. Avol b'dieved, after the fact, if you didn't realize this and you used that shovel, ain't osir, it wouldn't go and impart chometz status to any other matzahs that it came into contact with. And furthermore, even more than this, Yosim is there because of a Chok Yaakov. The Chok Yaakov adds, Dim Yev Sholimtso Bekal Rachas Acheres. And if there is no other Rachas over there, there's no other shovel, this is the only one you got, and you can't get another one easily, and you got to bake the matzahs, so Mutu Lohotzi Lechatchila Ba Matzahs. Then you can even use it to put in and take out matzos, even lechatchila, because the imkain yitzarach tomid ma'ir dechadosha vehevikim dievet. Because otherwise, this happens all the time, and you'd be constantly having to look for a new ma'ir, a new shovel over here, and therefore every situation would be a bidievet. And when you have a bidievet, it ke lechatchila domi. When it's going to default to this, so then even lechatchila you'd be allowed to go and use it. That's what the Chok Yaakov says. Vim nistapku b'ma'ir de'imhoyso shochomis lechadosha. Somebody gave you the marde, and you don't know, hey, was this the chometz tikka one by accident, or the Pesach tikka one? Was it kashered or not kashered? Then we also go lekula mutarim kol hamatzos. All the matzos are able to be used. Now, I have one more Mishneh Berurah from Sif Yotes, and that's Sif Katan Yud Beis, where we said that it's always preferable to buy a brand new marde over here rather than to kasher it. The Mishneh Berurah explains, v'yamachzik rachas shel Pesach mishon azul lishon acheres. You bought a Pesach tikka one, now you keep it for next year, and you don't use it for chometz all year round, mutter, then it's perfectly acceptable, vein tzricha hagola, you don't even have to do hagola on it. But just make careful, rach shiur shiur tinikia heitev, make sure that there is no dough left on it, because if there is dough left on it, obviously that dough could have become chometz, it wasn't somehow baked properly, and therefore just make sure that it's physically clean, and that's adequate. And he brings it down the name of the Taz and Shaarei Achronim, the Loki Mogen Avraham. The Mogen Avraham was machmir, and would say you have to kasher it, but we pass in the kula over here, the Mishneh Berurah says, like the Taz and the other Achronim, that say that if it's only used for pure Pesach tikka things, you can use it from one year to the next without kashering it. Now we go to Sivchot. Here we're going to deal with tables. Hashulchanos va'tevos. You have over here tables and tevos, chests of various nature. Shematzniyim bohen acholin kol hashana. You put food on it all year round. In other words, there's chametz stick of food directly touching these tables or these chests over here. Regilim la'oros aleim rosim. The way that they would kasha them was they would go and pour hot water on them. Lefi shelafamim nishbak marak min hakateros lesochem. Because sometimes chametz stick of food, soup for example, gravy, would fall on top of them and that would be chametz and would get absorbed. So therefore the minhag is to go do an irui mikli rishon on these items to kasha them. Now, let's understand this better. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Kuf Yud Gimel explains, we're talking here that hot food was put upon them during the year. Avos, stam, tevos, ein tzrichos hagola. But that's only in this situation that we even have this question of doing some sort of hagola or irui over here because of the potential for hot food. But a stam table over here, which normally we don't put hot food on it, that wouldn't require hagola. Now, Tisha footnote number 96 is very important, but let's finish off little bit more of the Mishnah Berurah here before we go to Dershu footnote number 96 to talk about the practical halacha l'maisa, what people should do today with tables and shelves and things like that. Sivkot and Kuf Yudalit. So the minhag is, he says, lo'oros aleim v'chule, to go pour hot water on them. And he says this hot water, as I mentioned, should be mikli rishon. It should be from a kli rishon. And this is iru kli rishon, and this works over here. Now, he brings down from the Ma'ariv in Simon Kuf Tzadi Gimel, who paskind, Pasak de Lomahaniri, he says, no, this isn't good enough. You have to really do a real Hagola and not this Iri Kli Rishon type of mini Hagola. Why? He says, because you're going to put sometimes on it a knish that is hot, so it has the dough directly on the table. And therefore, it is like a real Kli Rishon over here, and you'd have to go and kasher it in the proper way with Hagola and not with Iri Kli Rishon. And therefore, how should you kasher this? It's too big to put into a pot. You use the methodology that we learned previously in the Siman, that you take a boiling hot rock, a white rock, and you pour hot water onto it, and you keep on moving the rock around, and in this way you're accomplishing Hagola. You keep on moving the rock. This way the hot water that you're pouring onto it with the rock is going to touch every piece of this board or this table. Here, you don't even need from a kli rishon. It could even be from a kli sheni because the rock is really doing most of the work, making it like hagola. The har near tochen al hadaf, because that's directly on the board and it's like a kli rishon itself. In this situation, was mutter laniach aleim afilu matzah chama. And once you've kashed in this way, you could even put hot matzahs directly on this table and it would be okay. What happens if you didn't do this? If you just did over here, irui mikli rishon, mutra yedei iru levad, it would be acceptable just to use this irui itself. And ayin le'el in siv vav, we already learned previously in the Ramah with the Abagah and the Mishmaro Sham, various additional details. Now we can look at the Dershu footnotes that are very, very important over here. Dershu footnote number 96 brings down from the Shaarat Zion that the reason why we say over here that you don't need hagola is mishum she'ein matzniyim behem achol mechamim, because normally you didn't use hot items directly on it. And only in a situation where we know you put hot items on it do you have to do this hagola. And therefore, he brings down, if you have shelves over here in your refrigerator or other types of boards like that that never have something hot put on them. So he brings down from the Shelus Yeshuvas Or Litzion, the great Sfarad Gadol, Sheyesh L'Nakosam Heitev. All you have to do is clean them off well. Then you can use your refrigerator shelves on Pesach. Just clean them. You don't have to kasher them. And he brings down the same opinion from Avayashiv Zatzal, that all you have to do, it's adequate, B'nikoyon Yesodi Im Matlis Umayim. Just clean it well, a fundamental cleaning over here with a cloth and water, and how much better if you use soap as well. And he adds, She'esa Charitzim Shebein Kifle Hagumi. They have over here the grooves in between the rubber that seals off the refrigerator. You should try to clean that with a brush. Kidei Lahosim here must call up your room to get rid of any crumbs that gather over there. He says, likewise, if you have shelves in your kitchen. So Rav Yashiv Zatzal says, "Dial in a kosum heitev." All you gotta do is clean them well, and you don't have to cover them with paper like everybody does. How come everybody covers them with paper? He says, "Ein zeh lebnei benichem aleim kelim u'machom shel Pesach." He says, because people are putting their Pesach kelim on them, so they take this extra stringency. But min hadin, you don't have to. And he says, likewise, tables that you don't normally put hot pots on. Urgilim lechasosim bePesach v'shnei kisuyim. Yet the minhag is that we cover them up with two kisuyim. So he says from Rav Yashiv as well, all you have to do is clean those tables off. remove any actual lichluch, any junk that's left over, residue that's left over and attached to them, and you do not need to do hagola. And this is the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan as well. Sheshulchanos yikarim shenizharim b'meshach hashana shelo yishpoch le'marak. You have a fancy table that you never would be, you'd be so careful never to have any hot soup pour on it because it would ruin it. So then you don't have to do hagola, and all you have to do is clean them off well. And he brings down as well from the Shelus Truus Orlet Zion, Sheshulchan HaMetzupa Formica. You have a Formica table, so this is very expensive. And we don't normally put hot things on it because you're concerned that it's going to ruin it over here. And Midina Ain Tzarech Lachshiro Elarak Machmas Chumra. And the minig is that we kashir it in some way, but only because it's a Chumra. So therefore, he says, nobody wants to pour hot water on this because you're afraid that it's going to ruin the Formica. And therefore, Dai Shiachaso Sobemapa. All you have to do is cover it up with a mapa. Although, Min Hadin, technically, all you have to do is clean it off. Then, in Dirshu footnote number 98, he brings down Shulchan Yokor, a similar thing to what we just said in Dirshu footnote number 96. He says, any expensive table that does have sometimes hot things put on it, albeit most of the time you only put cold on it, he says, since we're concerned that you're going to ruin it by doing Hagala on it, so the Aruch HaShulchan that we just brought down a minute ago says, Ein Tzarech La'Agilo V'Dai La'Dicho Heitev. You don't have to go and do Hagala. It's enough to just clean it off well. And this is especially so if you're careful all year round not to pour anything hot on it because it would ruin it. Now we go back to the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Kuf Tetzvah, but we said that you have to pour hot water on it in a situation where you know that it was hot items put on this table during the rest of the year. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Yeshua Kosu. He brings down over here the opinion, which in Sharet Zion Os Kuf Mem Hei is the Morgan Avram in the name of the Mariel, Shetzorech La'aniach Aleim Od Ma'apa Odover Acher HaChotzeis. You should then, after you do this Hagola over here, you should put something on it that will still be a separation. Put a tablecloth or some other thing that will be a chatzitza between the table and anything Pesach that you put down on it. And he brings down in Dirshu footnote number 100, V'meniach Hagabi Shayish HaMitbach Kisui Ovo. If you put some sort of a thick cloth on top of your marble kitchen surfaces, or you cover them up with some sort of a silver foil that's thick in order that the blios can't get through. So if Nissan Karol Zatzal brings down Ein Tzarech LaHagilo, then you don't have to do Hagol in that situation or pour the hot water on it from a Kli Rishon, and that would be fine. The reason why you should put a cover over there, the Mishnah continues, he says, Shemo Nidbak Bo'adayin O Chometz Ben, because maybe in your cleaning and everything, there's still some sticky piece that you couldn't get off over here. So this way, have something separating it from the Pesach Dechit stuff that you're going to put on it. He adds, Ayin El Yerabba, Shemasik Dechein Roy Linhog Betevos Migdolim. He says, this is what you do for various chests and drawers over here. The Kimat Yevshol Ataron Shol Yishom Me'uma Ben Advekim. Because it's almost impossible to get out all the little pieces of Chometz in between the shelves and the drawers and the walls. But in a plain table where you can don't have cracks, so then ain lahachmir. Then you don't have to be machmir. And he says as well, further dina will be discussed. Ain lekam and sim tuf nun beis sif aleph beis and mishnah burisham. Further details about this, which Shemir Toshem will learn in a few days. Now we finish sif chaf. We go to sif chaf aleph. With the mechaber writes, chavios barrels shelcheres that are earthenware barrels that are storing your beer in them. Shenoslu behem shechar saorim. You have barley beer inside these barrels, which is pure chametz. So after you pour out the beer, you want to use those barrels for Pesach tikka usage, mutarim b'hagola. All you have to do is hagola on these barrels, and that would work. If you can't do hagola, or you don't want to do hagola for whatever the reason, it would be acceptable, o be'erui shlosha yomim, to go and put water in there for 24 hours, exchange that water, put in new water for another 24 hours, exchange that water, and put in new water for another 24 hours. You do this three times, as we'll see, it doesn't even have to be consecutive 3 days, and in this fashion, this is also called a eru shlosha yomim, could be a type of hagola over here that would work to kasher these barrels. Now, that was a mouthful. Let's look inside now in the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Kuf Tezayin. Rotsa Lomar, they were talking here about barrels, afilo yobahem kama yomim. Even if the beer was in there for a long period of time, you can still kasher it in this fashion. He brings this down from the Taz and other Achronim. Sivkot and Kuf Yudzayin, Hagola works over here. Aye, how come these are earthenware containers? Normally we say, Da amrino and klicheres eno yotze midei dofyo liolam, that it doesn't come out with Hagola. We normally say klicheres yeshubar, you have to break it in order to kashrut. It can't come out even with Hagola. Hainu davko kishabol aideo ur. That's only when it went in via direct fire. Avo bitzonin, in a situation like this where it's cold, that it went in just because it was there for a period of time, Sagilu b'hagola. Here, in fact, hagola does work. Aye, we said previously, Dirshu footnote number 101 brings down in regards to the base sar, we said the receptacle that was housing sourdough, and there we brought down in the name of the Ramah, Shamino Galavno, that you had to do Liban in that situation. Kivan Shiesha Sovim Shain Lakshir Bagola El Beliban, that you can't use this Hagola, you must use Liban. So Moshe Feinstein Zatzel, and Igros Moshe brings down that by this situation over here, Lohech Mir Kane, they weren't Machmir over here. Elobisar, only in that base or why? Kivin Shadavu Harifu, because that was a sharp item. As opposed to over here, it's not considered, the beer is not considered a sharp item, so therefore Hagola here will work, because it didn't go in with fire, so Hagola will work to get it out. The Mishnah Berurah continues and he says, Ulafi Tamzeh, based upon this, Afilu Bechamim Mutul Ishtamish Bo Acher Hagola O Iri. Then you can now use this, once you did this Hagola or this Iri three times for 24 hours, so then you can even put hot things on this afterwards. And even if this Sheikha was there within 24 hours and you kashed it with Hagola, you still could put hot things on in this barrel. The Yesh Omrim, others disagree over here, and this you can see in the Sharatzion Oskuf Menches is the Shach in Yoredeya, and he says, no, you can't use this Hagola methodology to kashed this barrel if it's been used within 24 hours. The su heavy nosi in tam lefgam, because in this situation, after 24 hours, the tam is a tam lefgam, which is another kul over here. But within 24 hours, it's a tam leshvach, and therefore you can't use it. Mishnah Berurah Sivkon Kufil Ches says, this Iri methodology, how does that work? So I already told it to you, because I knew it from the Mishnah Berurah, and he says, dahainu, what does this mean? Three times 24 hours. Shemalenu mayim, you fill it up with water. And in Dirshu footnote number 103, he brings down for Chazonish, this could be other liquids as well. Afilu tzoninim, even if it's cold, you don't have to have hot water. Alkol gidosim, you fill it up all the way until the rim. V'yishu besocho chav dalet shos ritzufin o yoser, and you leave it there for at least 24 consecutive hours, or it could be longer. It's not like there's a problem after 24 hours. So you leave it there at least 24 hours, this cold liquid, and then you must pour out the water and go put in other water. You can't use the same water. Dirshu footnote number 104 explains, because in that situation people may think that one time is good enough, and they'll mistakenly think that this Iru can be done one time, because even if you're using the same water for 72 hours, they're going to not realize that that's three 24-hour periods of time. They'll think one time is enough. So therefore, you must exchange the water. After 24 hour or more hours, you throw the old water out. The Yishu Besocho Kof Dalet Shos Ritzufin, and then you put in water again for another consecutive 24 hours, albeit this doesn't have to be immediately after the first 24-hour period of time. So you could even have a day in between, but each time it must be soaking in the water in the barrel for at least 24 hours, albeit the two or three times don't have to be consecutive. So you then do another, you're up to the second time putting in the water for at least 24 hours. Then you pour that water out, and you fill it up a third time. That third time, again, doesn't have to be immediately afterwards. That can be days later even. You then fill it up for a third time for 24 hours. That 24 hours, again, has to be consecutive. Each of the 24 hours has to be consecutive 24 hours. You can't do 12 hours, pour it out, 12 hours, pour it out. So you have to do three times at least 24 hours. If the first and second times you pour out the water, put in new water, whenever you do put it in, it must be in there for 24 hours. And this way, Ushlosha Mieslays, Elu, Ein Tzrich Lios Ritzufim. As I pointed out, these three 24-hour periods do not have to be one right after the other. El Afilu Mifuzarim. They can even be apart by several days. That's not a problem. Kimoshin is Bar B'Yoredei, Simon Kuflamet Hei, as will be explained over there. Furthermore, Afilu B'Mizufof Mahani Eru. Even over here, if there is a tar or some sort of a plating over here on these materials, it still will be good on the barrel. If it's tarred, it still will work with this Iri Shlosha Yomim, as it also says Kidis Al Yoredei over there. Furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah concludes, he says, V'da, da sashach Yoredei, simen kuf lamed hei, siv kotin lamed gimel, di bishari surim, ein lahokil, aide Iri Shlosha Yomim. This only works by chametz, it won't work by other isurim. In my Yaakov, she isur b'chli heta miesleis. If the isur went in by being in there for 24 hours, then we say, the kaimelon kovush kimirvushal, something that's in there for 24 hours, it's called kovush. It has a halachic status of being mavushal, and then it won't work for an earthenware for other isurim. But, o mavushal, chuleyam lo mahani irui. For real cooking, everybody agrees this doesn't work by earthenware. Afilu b'shar kelim sheino klicheres, even for non-klicheres utensils, and certainly for klicheres utensils, and ayin shomen yoredeya. So this is a special heter that was allowed over here by chametz. With that, we conclude today's shir.